welcome my fellow cannolis and struffolis to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart, here for another week on my comfy couch with my wonderful hot cup of coffee. Looking forward to sharing another hour with you, spreading knowledge, having some fun, listening to some music, possibly learning new things, and just enjoying each other's company. We're going to jump right into the political cesspool where this past week, Democrats decided that they want to cancel President's Day. Well, what about Juneteenth? Let's listen into their logic, shall we?
All right, so the headline here is presidential historian says President's Day is ridiculous, we should scrap it? What do you mean?
It is a little bit silly. I mean, we have had some real duds, so I'm not sure we really want to be celebrating all presidents. And the tradition actually comes from celebrating birthdays, which is a celebration that we inherited from celebrating the king. And I'm just not sure that that's exactly what we want. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that we necessarily want to celebrate the people. I think that we want to have a certain respect for the office. I totally get that. And some have done extraordinary things, but by celebrating all of them, I do think it causes us to think of the president as somehow other, when in reality, they are a citizen just like everyone else.
So you mentioned this earlier in the show, the idea that Trump posted something just over the weekend where he quoted Napoleon Bonaparte-esque, saying, "He who saves his country does not violate any law." It feels like exactly the example of what you're saying we should push against.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think if we think of a president as someone to celebrate just because they exist, which is what the king was, and that's why they celebrated the king's birthday, then you kind of, it does evolve into that argument that they can do no wrong.
All right.
It's funny how when Democrats had their guy in office, this never came up. And I'm just wondering, how would they deem which presidents to celebrate if they were going to separate that? Some of them did great things, others not, so we don't want to celebrate all of them. Well, who gets to choose and decide on that perspective? And like I said earlier, why do we have Juneteenth? Shouldn't that go before President's Day? And since she says she gets that we want to venerate or respect the office, does that mean that she wants to come up with some liberal term to rename the holiday, maybe? How hungry are you? I'm pretty hungry. But are you, I want to eat a seagull, hungry? This next clip is of an immigrant who's caught a seagull because he is going to attempt to eat the poor little bird, and a woman steps in and saves the seagull. I really have no words for this one.
Why do you want a bird? Why do you want a fish?
Let me have the bird.
I have the bird. I have the bird. I know how to hold the bird. Let go of the bird.
Okay. So you want to show the...
The bird?
I see what this is.
It's not your bird.
Incoming stitch. White women ain't scared of shit, I keep telling y'all. Hell, he looked like the Night Stalker's cousin. She walked right up to him.
Drop the bird now. No, drop the bird now. It's just the baby. Let go. I know what I'm doing. Let go of the bird and step away. Now.
Dude was about to make a seagull soup. She stepped in at the nick of time.
If you're hungry, you can go to 7-Eleven and get a hot dog, honey. They're only 99 cents. I just had one myself. But one thing you're going to do is release this bird right now, okay?
Stop me! That clip was courtesy of Jay Lett. He's got a channel called White Woman Comedy, and he's constantly doing clips of women, white women, saving animals. And he's always saying, white women ain't scared of anything. And he adds a little bit of humor to these rescue cases, which it's pretty cool to see what some of us do to save the wild animals. And I added the that's disgusting clip at the end. J.D. Vance gave a speech to the Munich Security Conference on February 14th and spoke about the threat from within Europe, internally rather than external threats, to individuals' freedoms. He said he was concerned about the retreat of Europe from some of its fundamental values. He talked about European leaders canceling elections, how Brussels threatened to shut down social media if they deem a post resembles hate speech. He talked about Sweden and the UK. In England, they arrested a veteran for standing 50 feet from an abortion clinic and silently praying for 3 minutes for an unborn son that was aborted years ago by his girlfriend. He was arrested and had to pay a hefty fine. Just because he was silently praying, he wasn't bothering anyone. And JD also talked about how the Scottish government sent out letters to private citizens whose homes were located in safe access zones, warning them that even private prayer within their own homes may amount to breaking the law, and they urged the readers to report anyone guilty of what they're calling a thought crime. So what the UK and apparently Scotland has done is they have buffer zones and a buffer zone law, which criminalizes prayer and other actions that could influence an individual's opinions within 200 meters of an abortion facility. So if your house is within one of these buffer zones, you could get reported by one of your neighbors for praying inside your home. So what this tells me is not just an all-out power grab on free speech and freedom of religion and our freedoms in general, but it also indicates to me that the bad guys do have a really solid idea of what I've talked about for many years on my show, and that is that thought and energy matter. I don't think, aside from the fact that they're trying to take away the personal freedoms of their citizens, that they want anybody praying for women to change their minds if they're considering going to an abortion, or to pray for the Holy Spirit to enter those people and change their minds about having an abortion, and also the unified prayer, two or more. And people might say that that is a misinterpretation of Scripture, but it is absolutely not. When two or more are gathered in prayer, the strength is there, the energy is there. And so even a family praying inside of their home for those potential unborn children or for the moms to change their mind, I know that they know that prayer and positive energy are amazingly effective, just like they use negative energy and fear and anxiety in their ritual and spell work against us. And I don't see that being published anywhere. Nobody has touched on that. I've not heard of anybody else talk about that. They're focusing strictly on human freedom, as well they should be. But none of these guys has put the spiritual aspect to that, that I have heard or seen. And it absolutely needs to be considered and needs to be discussed, because it's all part and parcel of what they're trying to do. Let's listen to this clip.
It's 6:01 on a Tuesday morning, and we were with state police as they raided this apartment in northwest Germany. Inside, six armed officers searched a suspect's home, then seized his laptop and cell phone. Prosecutors say those electronics may have been used to commit a crime. The crime? Posting a racist cartoon online. At the exact same time, across Germany, more than 50 similar raids played out. Part of what prosecutors say is a coordinated effort to curb online hate speech in Germany.
Okay, so before anybody says anything, that is the first song that popped into my head that went along with that clip, even though I know it's a George Michael coming out song. I get it. I get it. I just like the song. So JD, he's been hammered about that speech. The Germans or Europeans were picking on him afterward, and he's created quite the buzz around town, as it were. But I have to give the man a lot of credit. He spoke his mind. He spoke the truth. And that's something that a lot of people have not had the courage or the strength to do, especially in a presidential, vice presidential capacity in a long, long time. He's going up against the dark forces. He's showing that he is a man of faith, and he's doing the right thing. But let me just say again that nobody that I've heard on any platform anywhere has attached the spiritual side to it like I have. Obviously, prayer is spirituality, you know, being against prayer and all of that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the energy that's transmitted when people pray against atrocities and when people pray to save people's souls and for the betterment of society and humanity as a whole. They know the strength that we have. And this is one of the things that I've been telling you about for years. And then again, at the beginning of the year, with what I saw coming for this year, all of the lies will be exposed. And people's energy is starting to gel in some ways. They're starting to get it. They're starting to wake up. And they're putting that positive and that prayerful and that healing energy out there. And they're starting to realize, just like we talked about with the telepathy thing a few weeks ago, how strong we really are, not only individually, but collectively. There is a great shift happening, and it needs to happen for the other dominoes to topple down the line, but this is the start of it. So stay tuned here, because nobody else has talked about that, and it's super duper important.
Come here. Quickly as you can, snatch the pebble from my hand. When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave. Please excuse me.
It's that time of night again, folks, where we get to talk about Elon. I have some clips here I'm going to play for you, both about and from Mr. Musk himself. Muskrat love is going strong across the country in some areas, in some others, not so much. Elon's latest proclaimed baby mama is coming out and trying to, in my opinion, obtain some fame and notoriety off the back of Elon's private parts. Let's listen to this. No pun intended. This is a family-friendly show, but sometimes there are some expletives that are used, so if you have any kids in the room, you might want to send them off to get a drink of water and tell them to come back in about 4 minutes. If you're at work listening to this at the office like so many of you used to back when I had millions and zillions of followers on my old network, put on some headphones and go into stealth mode for a few.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Elon believes that he wants to have a lot of children, that it's important to overpopulate the earth, and says he's doing his part. Now, you could say he's a cad, but he appears to be very open about this with the women in his life. He's like, all these women are having babies by him via surrogate. Like, so that means he's fully participating. They're trying to get pregnant. Not as far as I know this woman. I don't know. I don't know whether this was, conceived the old-fashioned way or via IVF. But, like, they're actively trying to make babies of Elon's. And they're into it. But this woman knew all of that when she decided to get into a relationship with him. Yes, he's older. He's in his 50s and she's allegedly 26 to 31. But you know all of this. And in fact, the post he resurfaced of hers on the internet shows her saying, I think he's got like 7 kids from multiple different
women. By the way, she has another kid from a different man, already at 26 to 31, okay? So my point is simply, she walked into this eyes open. That's fine, no judgment. If that's the way you want to live your life, go for it, sister. Would not be my choice. But once you do that, don't ask me to feel sorry for you. Don't do the sad posts about how he won't talk to you. Don't try to go public ginning up hatred against him for negotiating via tweet. This is the life you chose. I mean, I don't understand why young women feel that they have two choices if they want some sort of a lavish lifestyle. I guess one choice is I don't understand how these women think their only road to financial success is to marry a rich guy or get pregnant by a rich guy and make him pay for your lifestyle. To me, it's so fucking disempowering. Go earn your own money. If you want to be rich, if you want a nice damn apartment, why don't you work? Why don't you earn it? Why are you just trying to bag some rich guy? It's so fucked up. It's wrong. I feel like, okay. And then if you do bang the rich guy, and if you do get pregnant with his child, then when it doesn't work out, be dignified about it. Don't go on Twitter. I don't believe her on the tabloid story. I don't believe her because it doesn't seem like she doesn't want publicity. She did the whole big spread with the New York Post. She wants publicity. Even if a tabloid was about to break it, then they break it and you say nothing. That's the classy highbrow way of handling this. She seems to want the attention and also at the same time want our sympathy. And I'm having a really difficult time giving it to her.
Way over time, that digs on me.
I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down.
Look, I know I sometimes say or post strange things, but that's just how my brain works. To anyone I've offended, I just want to say I reinvented electric cars and I'm sending people to Mars in a rocket ship. I think I was also gonna be a chill, normal dude.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
When I was a child, I once asked my grandpa, "Can you make a frog noise for me?" He did, but was really confused and asked me why I wanted it. So I told him, Dad said, when you croak, we are all going to Disneyland.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him a drink of wine. And he always had some bottle
wine. All right, so we had Megyn Kelly emphatically stating her views on Elon's supposed latest baby mama, and Tucker Carlson thrown in there on the end, getting a little froggy. So we've also had a lot of chatter this week. Trump says he and Elon are going to Fort Knox to make sure that there's really gold inside of there. And I guess Elon stated this as well. There was a meme online that made me lose it. It showed a Krylon metallic gold spray can paint and one of those foam bricks that you use as a sponge or in arranging flowers. And it was saying how the people at Fort Knox were going crazy this week, ostensibly painting all these fake bricks gold so that when they got there, nobody would know that the gold was all gone. There also have been some rumors flying around that England is preparing to fly a bunch of gold to the United States. So what do you guys think? Is there really gold in Fort Knox? Sounds to me like it might be a mad scramble by the bad guys to put it back where they got it from before Elon comes along with Trump and discovers, with full disclosure, cameras rolling, that there's nothing in Fort Knox but cobwebs. We'll have to see about that one. If anybody hasn't checked out Grayson McMahon's sites lately, I suggest you do that. I follow him on Instagram. Here's what he has to say about all of that, and I concur.
Wait, what? Elon Musk just questioned if the gold in Fort Knox is actually there.
Come to the realization that money with the government is a lot like silverware with toddlers. Like, where's all my forks? I know that we had them. Are you throwing all my forks away? No. I know that we had forks. We don't have any forks. Why is there an air fryer under your bed? I made my son ramen the other day, and he said, Dad, we're out of forks. Like, you don't run out. They're reusable.
Just bold-faced lied to you with unwavering confidence. Did you eat that cookie?
No.
There's chocolate on your face. I said what I said.
Have you ever made the mistake of letting your kids take toys to school? Because that'll backfire quick. It's been raining the last couple of days. They had indoor recess. Little man took Hot Wheels to school with him. Came back, zero Hot Wheels. Upset that he gave away his Hot Wheels. Why'd you give your Hot Wheels away? Because I wanted people to like me. But now you have no Hot Wheels. I know, and I don't even really like those people.
I feel like there's going to be an explanation, a lot like the explanation I got for why the Legos ended up back on the floor.
I had the Legos put up, but they fell. They fell while I was putting them up, Dad.
Politicians and toddlers, they go hand in hand. They're going to say some out-of-pocket outlandish stuff.
And then even when they're wrong, they're still going to blame you for it.
Look, if you would have gotten me a bigger Fort Knox, it would have held more gold.
My apologies, it's Grayson McGann, not McMahon. St. Patrick's Day is coming. I've got Irish names on the brain. Argentinian President Javier Milei gifted Elon with a fancy silver chainsaw for Doge. Elon wore a heavy gold rope chain and put on these Terminator kind of mafia shiny shades before he went up, hugged him, and received his gift, greeted him very warmly, in fact. And Elon was so enthralled that he brought the saw to the CPAC, which is the Conservative Political Action Conference, to show it off. So, sounds like somebody's getting ready for some hardcore play and cutting of spending and cutting off money that's been illegally given for years to political people and countries that don't deserve it. So, we'll have some fun with this. Apparently, they're having a blast with it. Although, I must say, coming from a family that's used a lot of chainsaws and spent a lot of time out in the woods, he didn't look as though he really knew how to start it or how to run it. But that's okay. It's a symbolic gesture, and we all get the reference. To add further insult to injury this week, the liberals are losing their mind because Kash Patel got approved as the FBI director. And the crowd seemed to go nuts even more so than this week's Canada-US hockey games.
The eyes have it. The storm is here. Kash Patel is our new FBI director.
I found it interesting that they played YMCA, Trump's clip. We've all talked about that on previous shows. Supposedly, Trump chose that as his theme song because of the references to Gitmo. Go back and listen to my archives. You can find them. I'm on Rumble. I'm on YouTube. I'm on this station and two others. I'm all over the place. Go back and find the archives and listen to that show. You may enjoy it. I'm now on a bunch of other platforms, but I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember what they are. Maybe Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, I don't know. Depending on where you listen from, The broadcast info is on each of the main pages for each of the three stations. But I'm definitely on Rumble and YouTube as well as here on the archives, or at least I should be. I also have an amazing media consultant who has taken my old Positude podcast page on Facebook. She's dusted off the cobwebs and she'll be posting to that page regularly. I think she's going to put the shows on there and some other fun stuff. So make sure that you go ahead in and like that page, the Positude Podcast on Facebook, if you haven't already. And I am here for all of your spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional needs. If it's a class that you desired, please reach out to me. It's Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E _ heart, H-E-A-R-T at outlook.com for all of your spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional needs. I do have classes. I've got two books in publication. They're on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all over the place for your children who are gifted to help them with some spiritual problems they may be having. And I am back on track for working on my full-length book as well. Lots more exciting things to come as times move forward. But get a hold of me, Maggie _ heart, H-E-A-R-T at outlook.com. Why put off until tomorrow what you can do today, especially with the year that I predicted is coming? This is the time to get spiritually right and mentally, physically, emotionally right as well. I'm also temporarily co-hosting another show on Monday nights at 8 on one of the networks that I'm airing on, The Final Countdown 2. I'm filling in for Dr. Jason Rand. I'll be there for probably another few months yet. I've been covering for at least two now, I think. But we're wishing Dr. Rand prayers and blessings and a speedy recovery so that I can get back to business and have some more free time and focus on my shows, and also allow him to get back into the spotlight where he belongs with his co-host, Peter Kling. And you can catch that show on the Vera Radio Network and also on Rumble as well. That show focuses more on the spiritual and biblical aspects of things, but also covers all sorts of cool stuff like conspiracy theory, UFOs, yada yada, all of the stuff that we talk about on here and more. They focus more on the biblical prophecy side, which is not something that I indulge in too much here on my show because I am trying to get back to my original format and I want to keep it more light, cover some heavy content, but do more with healing and current events and have fun at the same time. So it's a little different dynamic. It's a great show. I recommend it. And they're nice enough to plug me every week, so I wanted to be able to return the favor. So aside the Veron Radio Network, you may be listening to me on the Trim Radio Network or ERRT Radio. Wherever you listen, please support the network. We are all totally listener funded. Wherever you listen, thank you so much for your support. I appreciate each and every one of you, as well as all of my peers, the networks, and the platforms that play me on a regular basis. On the Vera Radio Network, I am now every single night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So Wednesdays, 8 used to be my time. Now it's Wednesdays, 9 Eastern Standard Time. So I've gotten some feedback. Some people couldn't find me. That's why I'm 9 o'clock now. Wednesdays are the new shows every week. And then every other night in the 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time slot, you can hear an archive show of mine. I am on Trim Radio Network Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on ERRT Radio Tuesday nights at 10. I also would like to thank my two producers who helped me out on two of the networks. I do produce my own show. This is a tremendous amount of time and work that I have to put into this every week to bring these shows to you. But I do have two guys that plug me in the slots and make sure that everything plays smoothly and on time. And I greatly thank you both and appreciate you. Crazy Cajun and Bobby. Also, I want to thank all of the wonderful hosts that have asked me to interview on their shows the last, well, years actually, but especially the past several months. I've done probably at least a handful of interviews in the last 3 weeks, and thank you guys all for supporting me as well. I appreciate you all too. So getting back into the saddle, Joy Behar has been a controversial figure on The View for as long as she's been on there, I guess maybe since the inception. I couldn't tell you because I barely listen to the show. I really can't stand it. I think it should have been taken off the air a long time ago. But she stepped over the line a couple of weeks ago when she accused Caroline Leavitt, Trump's new press secretary, of getting her job only because Trump thought she was a 10. And ABC found themselves in a tight spot because Caroline decided to sue Joy Behar. There are rumors out there, you know, $20 million. It really doesn't matter. The point's been made. And there have been rumors that because of the lawsuit, Joy Behar was seen trying to leave the country. There was talk behind closed doors, supposedly at ABC, of what to do. A lot of people thought she finally stepped over the line, although I think, in my opinion, all of the hosts have crossed that line many moons ago. But there was some whispers of a possible suspension, that she might have to make a public apology or possible firing. In the end, ABC has stated that Joy is leaving the show and she decided to step away, but I betcha she got fired. Or maybe Trump's planning to deport her. She stuck her foot in her mouth one too many times. Here's another clip of her showing her rabid habits and marginal intelligence by Damon Amani.
A lot of these people, in my opinion, have been misled. They thought that grocery prices would come down. They're up. They thought inflation was coming down. It's up.
Well, Joy, Trump has been in office for what, a month? And if you had any clue about how the economy works, which you clearly don't, but I gotta say, I give you credit for embarrassing yourself anyway, you would realize that it takes way longer than that to bring down the Biden inflation. And that's because Trump does not have a magic wand like the one that you people use to change genders.
Comedian Mark Curry has a pretty innovative way to stop crime. Let's hear what he has to say.
I can end crime. First thing I do, I go to death row. If you killed more than two people, you're eligible for war. Let's go. That's right. We're going to put you on the plane. Southwest send you straight to Iraq. That's right. To save money, we're going to give you the same weapon you killed people with. You killed two people with this knife, good luck to you. Where you going? Where am I going? You'll find out in a minute. Do what you do best, okay? Good luck to you. Keep the line moving. Keep the line moving. All the crazy people. I'm tired of the crazy people. Plea of insanity. What happened? Well, when the dog spoke, he wanted me to kill. Oh, good. I hear a dog barking in the parking lot. Oh, he wants you to go to Iraq. Let's go, son. Let's go. You his lawyer? Good. Represent him in Iraq. Let's go. Let's keep the line moving. The line move. All the gangbangers who want to shoot innocent people out of a car, we're going to put you in the same car, fix your transmission, send you down Baghdad Avenue. Good luck. Put you on YouTube so your homeboys can see you go out like a player. Oh, player, yes.
I like the way he thinks. And surprise, surprise, all those last minute pardons by Biden might not be valid. Check this out.
Oh, shit. Ninth Circuit judge has ruled that 84 of Biden's last-minute pardons are null and void. He says there is no precedent for pardoning somebody who hasn't committed a crime yet. The Ninth Circuit is a very liberal circuit. Judge Brown, I think. Anyways, all those pardons, all those people that thought they were in the clear, not so much, bro. It's on like Donkey Kong now. Like this and share it. There is hope yet to get our hands on these conspirators.
To start a new conspiracy theory. Is AOC secretly Joe Biden's daughter because she just seems to be, if not more, at least as addle-minded as he is. This is crazy. Listen to this. Ladies, does no mean no, or does no mean maybe?
Because no is not a final answer. We need to have the mentality that no means find another way. No means try again. No means look somewhere else. No does not mean stop trying. Okay?
My guess is that she didn't think this video through. I have a feeling it's going to get used in a courtroom someday, and it's going to be a rough look.
Hmm. Well, which way did it go, George? Which way did it go?
Now you go on and do what you want to.
She must have forgotten about the Me Too movement and no meaning no, right? Randy Quaid doesn't seem to have forgotten some of his peers, just like we talked about last week with the Imagine Dragons clip. You can go back to the archives and review that show. Take a listen. Randy is talking about the Illuminati as well. Remember what I told you, folks? This year is the year of disclosure. Truth will be coming out. Here's another example.
All of whom I have worked with and was close to. Heath Ledger, Chris Penn, David Carradine among them. I believe these actors were whacked, and I believe that many others, such as Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, and Mel Gibson, are being played to get at their money.
And I love Awaken with JP. If you're not listening to him on YouTube, you should be. He's been out for years now. And this video is from 2 years ago, but it's definitely pertinent to today's times with the rising costs of egg prices due to the fabricated bird flu. I ask you again, if there's a bird flu, why aren't our seagulls, like the one that the guy was going to eat earlier in the episode, or our robins, or our blue jays, or any other birds affected? Because it's another way that they're creating food shortages across the world. Just like with COVID, all of the animals that they slaughtered unnecessarily, all of the farmers that they ruined their businesses or almost ruined their businesses, not to mention the fact that if they're like me, they get attached to their animals, the emotional trauma that those people have suffered, all to create food shortages, just like the plants, the manufacturing plants that had all of those mysterious fires. This is all why we should be growing our own organic food and teaming up with our local farmers that supply organic, no vaccination, non-GMO, totally pure meat sources. I encourage all of you all to look into raising your own chickens and whatever livestock that you can, as well as your own gardens. This isn't Trump's fault. It's a matter of common sense. All of those farmers now had to go out and buy more chicks. And an average chick takes about 6 months to come, what we call come online and start to lay. So we're going to be in it for a while as far as egg shortages and high prices on eggs go. So we might as well stay positive and laugh about it while we can.
This is your brain. This is your brain on eggs. Any questions? Over 140 million hens have been killed. They've created a major egg shortage. So even though it's risky, I've gotten into egg dealing. Aside from killing all the chickens, they're literally doing everything in their power to rid the world of eggs. And the NIH has a food pyramid, damn it, trying to warn people of the dangers of eggs. The NIH has never been wrong about anything. As you can see, they rate Lucky Charms as twice as healthy as eggs. The government's basically doing a just say no to eggs push, but people want eggs. So I got into dealing eggs on the black market earlier this year. Business is a booming. Look at that. That's basically liquid gold right there in solid form. And the more egg production facilities the government destroys, the better it is for me. And I get where they're coming from. The CIA just wants to protect the public. And if that means they need to destroy egg facilities, kill chickens, kill Kennedy, I get it. They're just doing their job. My customers want a potent product, so purity is everything in how I formulate it. These chickens are all free range. They eat organic feed, insects, and large branches all day. Do you know what that does for the omega-3 ratios in my product? People get hooked and will pay anything. I'll tell you one thing. Since we opened the borders of our country so we could let life-saving fentanyl flow in, one thing they didn't anticipate was all the omega-3s that would be coming over the border. This is my lab where I make my product. Dude, look at these things. Now, sometimes a batch will turn out with some of this greenish-brown stuff on it. I'm not really sure what that is. I think I know what it is now. I built my lab underneath this tree canopy. Helps keep it hidden from helicopters, always trying to take down operations like this. They're always trying to watch me. Do you hear that? Thing's been following me all day. I don't have any moral dilemmas about selling eggs. I sell eggs to children. As you would expect, yes, there is violence in the egg dealing game. Just a couple days ago, I had a raccoon trying to interfere with my business. Let's just say you won't be seeing him no more. What you know about mealworm, with the egg shortage, I'm getting $15 for a dozen. Do you know how much I'm getting for two dozen? $30. Even though I'm heavily invested running my major egg cartel business, I think the government's doing the right thing, warning people of the dangers of eggs and promoting safe and effective food like Lucky Charms and fake meat. I don't want to see anyone destroy their life, but if they're going to use eggs, they got to buy them from someone. So why not me?
Sounds like Foghorn Leghorn is taking old JP to task for stealing his woman's eggs. Or maybe he just doesn't want to be out there patrolling the hen yard while it's so cold out. It's frigid here.
Oh, are you having fun?
No!
Oh, do you like snow?
No!
So in case some of you didn't notice, even though I usually run over for my break time, I haven't done my usual intermission song because I had so many other cool clips to play and I'm having so much fun with this that I figured I'd just roll with it. But I wanted to give my good buddy Pat Carr some credit. All of my entry and exit music and sometimes my break music is provided by my good buddy Pat Carr. You can reach him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Please check him out. Buy his music. He is all over the place. He's on Reverb Nation, SoundClick, YouTube. Get a hold of him and tell him Maggie sent you. Since we talked last week about the healing properties of water, I was going to continue my content this week talking about the benefits of breathing, focusing on all natural things that we can do for ourselves and our families that are inexpensive and something that we can do on our own without the use of a whole bunch of equipment or tools or anything like that. But I might not have enough time tonight just because I'm having so much fun with my clips and this lighthearted energy that I'm trying to share with all of you because I do practice what I preach and I want us to stay upbeat and positive and keep that vibe going as much as possible. Breathing. It is important. It doesn't take a lot of effort. That's stating the obvious. But some of the techniques that I was going to go over and I will go over next week are different ways that you can work on breathing that will help to heal your body, increase your energy levels, and heal your body. But the really cool thing is you can also store energy in your body to use to help you manifest things and do things with your mind, more things with your mind. So we'll talk about some of that next week. That's the hook to keep you coming back for more.
Job is all that breaks, 'cause the hook brings you through.
Okay, it's Gen X time. I got such great feedback on last week's show talking about Gen Xers. I thought we'd spend a little more time indulging in the beautiful insanity a lot of us grew up with. First, though, I'm going to poke some lighthearted fun at millennials, Gen Zers, but probably more millennials in this next clip. Talk about drama. We hate drama. Gen Xers can't stand drama. And the baby boomers, too. Unless you have bad narcissistic tendencies and then you also thrive on drama. Let's hear how kids seem to react today to a common scrape or a cut from a fall that back in the day we would have treated ourselves by wiping dirt on it and maybe cleaning it off from water from the hose. I will give this kid credit, though. At least he had the gumption to go out and ride his bike and didn't break his fingernail playing a video game. This is Gemma Winston, and she's awesome. Check her out.
Mother, I have fallen off my scooter and require assistance.
Timmy, look at your knee. You're bleeding.
The pavement was the victim. I am the victor.
That's a pretty bad boo-boo. Just wait right here. Let me get something, okay?
Bandage me in silk and I shall ride again.
Okay, we have to clean it first.
What's that?
It's hydrogen peroxide.
Oh,
it'll disinfect it.
Does it hurt?
No, it won't hurt.
Promise?
Promise.
Oh.
Well, maybe just like a little bit.
It's kind of cold. The hornets of Hades have descended upon me.
I had to, Timmy.
I have smelted iron with the Titan's touch and forged swords with Chimera's flame.
Oh, God.
But never felt the basilisk sting like this.
It stings a little bit, but it's not that bad.
Lay two tokens on my eyes for the very men.
Timmy.
I'm fading to Elysium. I see Bartholomew.
Just had to bring the hamster up.
He looks beautiful.
Timmy, you're being a little dramatic.
I am the drama.
Do you want SpongeBob Band-Aid or a Marvel Avengers Band-Aid?
SpongeBob Band-Aid, please.
Meh, bike, scooter, at least the kid was outside, right? The next clip is what I would think is a baby boomer cop undoubtedly pulling over a Gen Xer.
I'm just toodling around. I see this truck coming at me. Hit him with a radar. Run 106.
Whoa.
Dang, you know, so I light him up. Well, he stops right across from me. I mean, you know, but like, you can tell he's a pumper. You know, you can see the pipe wrenches and the shovels in the back, and I walk up there and I said, is there a medical emergency? And he said, no. I said, what's the deal? I said, a big green grasshopper on my windshield wiper, and I just kind of want to see how fast I go before he comes off. I said, how fast? He said, he's still there. And I told him, I said, you know, buddy, I said, I don't want to get in the way of any scientific stuff, but I'm going to let you go.
You are the new student. Come closer.
You cannot see.
You think I cannot see.
Of all things, to live in darkness must be the worst.
Fear is the only darkness. Take your broom and strike me with it. Do as I tell you. Strike. Again. Here, catch. Never assume that because a man has no eyes, he cannot see. Close your eyes. What do you hear?
I hear the water. I hear the birds.
Do you hear your own heartbeat?
No.
Do you hear the grasshopper, which is at your feet?
Old man, how is it that you hear these things?
Young man, how is it that you do not?
Okay, I threw in some kung fu there with the grasshopper clip for good measure. Hope you enjoyed that as well. Oh, I almost forgot to tell you guys some really exciting news. We talked about Goonies 2 coming out last week. Again, check me out on the archives and listen to the show. But I was out going to an appointment, and I stopped at a thrift store. My girlfriend works there. And I was poking around, and I found a veritable Gen X gem. I actually found the Goonies board game. Don't be jealous. Maybe we can play together one night over our comfy couch and coffee table with our hot cup of coffee while we're listening to the show together. You're going to have to arm wrestle me, though, if you want to be Chunk, though, because I'm claiming him. He's mine. Who remembers the smelly copy paper with the funny bluish-purplish writing on it that we all loved to sniff in school? Come on, admit it. You know you did it, too.
There was a weird smell in Simi Valley schools in the 1980s that every Gen Xer secretly loved. This is a fact that no one under 40 has ever heard before, but anyone over 50 would say, oh my God, I used to love that. No, not nuclear fallout. It was the smell of methanol and isopropanol in the classroom. But wasn't that toxic? Every classroom handout and assignment was printed with a psychedelic purple ink on a machine called a mimeograph. That wonderful classroom smell came from the chemical duplicator fluid that coated every printed page. Yes, but wasn't that toxic? Some people believe the smell was intentionally addictive, designed by chemists to entice kids to relax and actually do their schoolwork. The fragrant, chemically treated paper became such a treat for school-age kids, they would look forward to receiving their activity pages and handouts. The mimeograph became the most widely used system for mass-producing printed materials in schools.
I believe that it's entirely possible that they put some chemical in there to make us pay attention to our schoolwork and want to do our schoolwork. Why wouldn't they? I can remember even the baddest, burliest kids, even though we were little, the tough guys, sniffing those papers with wild abandon, and some of them trying to do it on the sly without getting caught because they didn't want anybody else to see them sniffing their papers. But the chemicals, right? Who even knows? I mean, we had to deal with lead paint, water unfiltered from a hose, the drinking fountains, which were veritable petri dishes of germs. Now they push kids to bring their own water bottles to school. And they say that it's for hydration purposes, but we all know it's to pump the kids full of chlorine and the other chemicals that they put into the treated drinking water, but wow, what we survived, right? There were kids that used to mouth that fountain like they were cows at a trough. They would literally put their mouths over the spigot things where the water came out, not the spigots, the actual mouth of the fountain. It was so disgusting. People would be coughing and hacking all over it. They'd put their hands all over the sides. It was truly gross. The floors of the gym showers looked like they hadn't been scrubbed in months. They were disgusting. I refused to get in the shower without sandals or flip-flops on because it was gross. And wherever possible, I would just wait till I got home. I pretty much refused to take showers in those things. Only took them in there when they absolutely made us because they were just disgusting. And they always had a funny smell to them. The chemicals that they used to clean, too. Wow. All those carcinogens that I imagine were in them now, although the ones today aren't any better. The institutionalized cafeteria, frozen pizzas that they gave us that we love so much, that tasted really good when we were that age, but God knows what was in them. And that was before they really even started to use the GMOs that they're using today. You know what? We all had manners and respect for our elders, and this next clip is a testament to that.
All right, so I'm 55 years old, a 55-year-old man, and yes, my mother's visiting from Florida with us for a couple weeks, and she asked me a few minutes ago, sweetheart, do you mind? No. She asked me, sweetheart, do you mind driving me to, where did you want to go, Mom?
Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby. And I told her I was busy and I had things to do, and she told me...
You have to do it. I'm asking you. I'm your mother.
So I had to do it, because she was asking me, and she's my mother. So my question is this. How many of you adult Gen Xers, you 40-something, 50-something, nearly 60-something-year-old grown men and women turn back into a child when your parents say they need you to do something? They want you to do something. They demand that you do something or else. Or else what, Mom?
I kick your ass.
Sounds about right. Or else she'd kick my ass. And if you have any doubt about it, please don't, because I'm relatively sure she still could.
He's right.
I love you, Mom.
I love you more.
And see, that was it, wasn't it? At the end of the day, we knew our parents loved us. They might not have told us all of the time. They might not have emanated it all of the time. But we always knew that they loved us. They just wanted us to grow up, to be able to be self-sufficient. And so we were raised to have common sense and be responsible. In fact, a lot of us raised or helped to raise our younger siblings and cousins. We watched each other. We looked out for each other. And just like we were talking about last week, that sense of loyalty and community stayed with us no matter what. And we still hold those same values today, and it's something that is sorely lacking in the younger generations. They are all about me, 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 it seems like, and we were raised to take care of each other. If a problem came up, we had to solve it on our own. Our parents would test us. Well, what did you do today? Why did you handle it this way? Why didn't you do it that way? And if we didn't do things the way that they thought that we should, there were repercussions. We got punished. In sports and in life, there was no trophy for everybody. You had to earn your trophies. You had to practice and work hard to achieve your goals. And they may not have told us how proud they were of us, but guaranteed they told their friends. We would overhear phone conversations of them bragging on us, also bitching about us, but bragging about us when we did something good or got a good report card or got our first job or first car with our own money. And in closing tonight, I'm asking all of you to dig deep and remember all of that and bring back all of that to the table, because this is the energy that we're going to need to propel us for the times forward. And do it in a lighthearted, fun manner. We took things seriously, but boy, did we have fun in the process. We were adventurous. We were wild. We were untamed. We were unruly. But when we needed to be, we were disciplined and put our noses to the grindstone, and we persevered above all else. And that's what I'd like to have all of us get back to help pull each other through and get to the other side. Can do this together. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll catch you next week. Have a great night.